Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's what I love about these movies, Rob. We get older, and they also get older. And now Dazed and Confused is 30 years greater. That's right. It is 30 years greater. The post-show recaps and RHAP podcast, where we are going back 30 years into the past to talk about movies from the 1990s. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by Rob Sesternino, and we are going to take a paddle to Dazed and Confused.
No, wait, I didn't know there was going to be hazing.
We're going to haze
Dazed and Confused.
Spank this movie right on the tush, Rob.
Oh my God.
Some light spanking action here on the 30 years.
More than light spanking.
Right. Well, you know, there was the one spanking that I thought, like, Pink really did, like, a really solid job of spanking that young man on the butt. It's just like a tiny little Mitch Kramer, just a tiny little love tap for Mitch Kramer. But otherwise, it's like harsh spankings from Ben Affleck and the gang.
Very harsh. Yes.
Very harsh. Way harsh. Not so harsh is the 30 Years Greater podcast. A lovely time here on the internet and in your podcast feed, where if you're just joining us, Rob and I talk about movies currently from 1993. We're going back 30 years in time to talk about movies 30 years later. And today is a really special one, Rob. First of all, as we're recording this, it is the exact 30-year anniversary of Dazed and Confused, September 24th, 1993, when it initially came out. The Richard Linklater written and directed, directed Dazed and Confused, a movie I've only seen once. Rob, you had never seen before.
I never saw it until I had been waiting my whole life to watch it. And so yeah. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, this is really fun because I feel like a lot of these movies we have either both watched or one of us has watched a lot. And in this case, I think that we're approaching a really beloved movie, like a super, like one of like the defining cult classics of the cult classic classification that you and I think have like very like almost like newborn babe thoughts about Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Before coming on, you're like, this movie was not what I thought it would be.
It really wasn't. You know, I had thought it would be, you know, one thing, and it turned out to be a very different thing. So, you know, I'm not even like good, bad, but I think I'm probably more confused than dazed.
Yeah, more confused than dazed. So we will hope to clear up some of the confusion here as we talk through Dazed and Confused. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you're not already. PostShowRecaps.com/30, or you can search Post Show Recaps 30 Years Greater wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to watch these on video, on demand, PostShowRecaps.com/YouTube. You can subscribe to the PSR YouTube channel and check out the 30 Years Greater playlist. All of our podcasts are going to be living there. So, Rob, Dazed and Confused. So what did you think Dazed and Confused was going to be? I think that this is also, by the way, maybe a little bit of a format breaky episode of the podcast, because there's not exactly a plot to recap, I think.
I thought that it'd be like a little bit more of like a plot or like a three act structure, or, you know, it would be like a little bit more like a movie.
Yeah.
And if, I mean, it was
vignettes.
More vignettes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was really like about like pretty much like it takes place over like one day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one like day. One 24-hour period. No real time, you know, thriller action.
And there's a lot of characters. Yeah. And I feel like it could be like just like we could do like IMD bags of the whole episode. Just like every single person.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, this is where they're at. This is where they're at. This is where they're at. We could do like a cast draft of all these people.
I would very happily do a cast draft of all these people.
It's a
real who's who of people who are in this movie. And then like a real like wait, why did that person not pop off of some of these people as well? So I think that this is a movie that is widely loved as something of a hangout movie to a certain degree. It's a movie that, as is the premise of the podcast, came out in 1993 and is focused on a period of time not quite 30 years earlier or 30 years less, not quite 20 years less as well. It takes place in the summer or the start of the summer of 1976 in a small town, or I guess it's Austin. It's Austin, Texas, maybe an Austin, Texas suburb. It's mm-hmm. the last day of high school, and it's a transition of juniors becoming seniors and junior high schoolers becoming freshmen, and the hazing and glory days that ensue as a result. And I think that this is a movie that has lots of nostalgia baked into the premise at the time it arrives.
Yeah, and I think that that's what's really interesting, and especially in the context of like what we are doing and sort of like the little bit of the reading up I've been doing about Dazed and Confused. Like the idea from Richard Linklater, who, you know, I think has really made his, entire like film career, I think has been about like exploring this idea.
The human condition
yeah. and the passage of time and memory and nostalgia.
The Before trilogy, yeah, is like a big one. Boyhood. Did you ever see either of those? The Before movies?
No, I didn't.
I didn't.
I'm interested, but I have not seen them. But maybe
I think you'd have fun.
All right, so what is that? 2044, we'll be looking at Boyhood. So
Yeah, 2044, we'll be looking at Boyhood, and he's
making forward to it.
A spiritual sequel to Boyhood called Merrily We Roll Along, which is going to film over the course of 20 years. That's like the first movie that I think we can officially say will definitely never be covered on 30 Years Greater, because we'll be dead by the time it's eligible.
Do they have to stop down filming?
I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Anyway. But the idea of the Dazed and Confused was to explore the idea of like, hey, there's like nostalgia for the 70s and we're going to show you like how it was and like how it was actually kind of boring and it wasn't really that fun. And there was a lot of anxiety and angst. And we're going to show you like a little bit of like life as it was then. And then I think that was the process, but now here we are of like 30 years after Dazed and Confused. And I feel like people are like, yeah, like this was it, man. We should go back. Like this is how like movies should have been. Why don't we have good stuff like this?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We really are kind of like in that exact spot. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the thing that's funny is like, for me, watching it this morning, second time I'd ever seen it, first time as an adult ever seeing it. I think when I'd watched Dazed and Confused, I was like late high school to college. I don't know where in there, because it wasn't like an incredibly memorable experience. I had no real connection to the 70s, at least not one that was obvious to me at the time. And I was either, you know, one of like the high school aged kids, or I was like closer to the McConaughey age, I guess, and just like too close to it to appreciate any of what the movie was really trying to tell me. And now as like a 38-year-old person, sort of like the distance that I have on the viewing of Dazed and Confused is not dissimilar probably to that spread of time between the release of Dazed and Confused and 1976. So like the thing that the people who were my age in 93 were probably nostalgic about watching Dazed and Confused when Dazed and Confused came out, like their high school years, is how I'm feeling about like my late childhood, early adulthood. And it was very trippy to go back and check it out in that way, where it's like, look at baby Ben Affleck. Like, look at little baby Ben. Look at like baby Matthew McConaughey. Look at all these people who now, then you look up, how old are they now? Like getting into their 50s, their 60s. Like it's like, you know, really, really changing quite a bit. And so I felt old watching this movie in a profound way that I am about 25 minutes on the other side of beginning to process, because I just finished watching the movie before we started hitting record.
You felt old because that when you first saw it, that you were a young person that could identify with the high school kids. And
yeah,
now
Ben
here
Affleck
you are like
saving
a grown
the world
man.
From yeah. a meteor. You know, like a meteor, an asteroid was threatening Armageddon on mm-hmm. Earth. And he
now
was,
that would be like the least of our problems.
And he was doing animal cracker dances on Liv Tyler and was trying to save the world. And Adam Goldberg, who plays Newhouse, who's throwing punches at Nicky Catt, who is another actor I really like from that time. In my mind, that guy was like going and fighting the Nazis and saving Private Ryan. And so like when I watched the movie at the time, they were like younger versions of the people that I was knowing them as mm-hmm. like in that like contemporaneous time period of like they're having these moments that are like totally separate from Dazed and Confused. Like it felt like weird and jarring to see them like young at that time. Now it feels like it feels really weird and jarring for me to see them young at that time because these people have moved on quite a bit. They're all what's McConaughey's character? Woodersons. Mm-hmm. They're all Woodersons in their own right. And I guess that means so am I, Rob.
Yeah. I, you know, didn't have that same experience because I did not watch it the first time. I know that it has been talked about like my whole life, and I had always wanted to watch this movie, and I just had never gotten around to it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I missed the boat.
Uh-huh. Did it feel evocative of any of your youthful days? This is not me being like, Rob, were you around 1976 in high school?
No.
But were there any ways in which this movie is like depiction of that point in a person's life? Did any of that feel close to your experience at all, whether it was college or something else?
I mean, certainly the idea of that you have like this time in your life when there are not actual like any responsibilities that you have and like what that feels like versus yeah. the point in your life that will come after where, you know, there is a desire to go back and revisit those times when like, wasn't that great when all we did was like hang out and go to the burger place and so there is a desire to go back there certainly for everybody.
We have to go back there
but I think I'm a weird person because
okay,
I
you could just stop there.
Yeah, for me, like I've never been a person that talks about high school as being like one of the best times of my life. Like I didn't really have like a high school experience where it was like, oh my god, like high school was the best, man. And I had that more with my college time than right. high school where, you know, but I don't like, I never once in my entire life have I thought of like, man, I wish I could go back to high school.
Go back to college, go back to high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not me particularly either. I think that that's why there are some moments in this movie. And one of the things I really love about Dazed and Confused is it, because it has its eye on so many different social circles. So like there's the football kids, like the jocks who are just like now like becoming seniors and think that now it's their time to inherit the throne. They're the kings of the school. Or if you're Ben Affleck's character, you are once again the king of the school as he is a super senior. Mm-hmm. There are the kids who are just like the stoners, not a care in the world, who are kind of just trying to like philosophize their way through their final year here at school. There are like the nerds who feel like they're like sort of like contractually obligated to go to the bonfire, to the keg party. There are the freshmen who are like deeply terrified of mm-hmm. like the hazing rituals that are happening on this day and still to come. And so I think that, and then there's also like the parents that are like, you know, at least gestured at in this movie of like, I know you're about to throw a kegger at my house, so I'm not going to go on vacation. You've just disrupted my life terribly. Who at the time of watching this movie, you're probably like, man, screw that guy. And now you're kind of like, yeah, like, of course you have to, you've got to watch back. Or I guess like now you would probably have like a ring or some other like device with which to watch your home, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that would definitely be,
But I think it surveys a lot of different corners of life. So like, I think like nostalgia or like douche chills that you have when you think back on this time in your life, for men, for women, like for a lot of different people. I think it has a little bit of something, if not for everybody, then for at least a lot of people. And I think like you can lens out this movie based on like the American high school experience in a lot of different ways. I think it's a really, really terrific movie. I really, really liked it. I really enjoyed going back and checking it out.
Yeah, it was just different than what I had thought.
What was the vibe? Did you think it was like a little more like Kevin Smith maybe?
No,
like
not
fast,
really.
Talky hijinks?
No, definitely. I didn't think it was like Kevin Smith, although Ben Affleck was here. Yes. I did think it was going to be like a little bit more of like a... I guess like more like a dumb like coming of age high school comedy about I was thinking it was going to be a little bit more that 70s show, not like that
yeah, right sure,
but that's where I thought that this was going to be a little bit more of like, okay, this, we're going to follow a small group of kids and see like a little bit more about like them like getting high and being stupid in the 70s.
Yeah, certainly a few of those we definitely get. We definitely get a couple of corners of that.
But can I ask you a question from just like a big picture with Dazed and Confused? Do you feel like that Dazed and Confused really ushered in the 70s nostalgia that was present in the 90s?
That's interesting.
Culminating in the aforementioned
When did that 70s show come out? That 70s
late,
show is...
Late 90s.
I think late 90s, yeah, 98.
99 even?
That's wild to me. I don't know why it felt like that 70s show happened a little bit earlier. I don't know. Hard for me to say. I think certainly we can continue to check the record as we advance through the 90s over the course of the next couple of years of like how many other major 70s movies come out from this thing. I think less that and more for me, a bit of this... there's just like, I think watching it this time really felt like there is sort of this perpetual cycle that we are always in of like, man, remember that? It was so much better then. Like that was so much better than it is now. And is that always the case? I believe it's cousin Greg who says better for everybody, not for all, or some version of that when asked to look back on Days of Yesterday. And I think that this movie is perfectly situated at that time. It's not quite 20 years greater from the time period that it's analyzing when the movie comes out. It's from a filmmaker who lived that time period. This is very, very evocative of Richard Linklater's own high school experience, the point that I believe he got sued over it from people who shared names with some of these characters. And thought that they were maybe being mischaracterized or perhaps too closely characterized. I think the lawsuit was dropped ultimately. So I think that it really is sort of representative of this feeling of like trying to go back and recapture something. But I think also one of the things that was like sort of like a brain teaser for me is the difference between the 1970s aesthetic and vibe versus the 1990s aesthetic and vibe, at least at my like from my seat in the 1990s, felt profound. And I feel like the difference between the aesthetic and vibe of the 1970s and the aesthetic and vibe of the 2020s is certainly distinct and profound. But is the distinction between like the vibe and the aesthetic of like the 1990s, or I guess in my case for high school, the early 2000s, really distinct and profound from the 2020s, or has not much changed visually and aesthetically, or am I just too close to it to realize? And I guess like that was part of like sort of like that was like sort of like my high on the football field staring at the stars take watching this movie, you know?
Yeah. So you're asking from the 90s to the 70s, was it that different as it was for you?
Or even like from now to like the early 2000s, like how much has actually changed? Have we stopped changing so dramatically, or am I just too old to see the difference. Because I'm like, well, we had AIM, you know? Yeah.
I mean, well, does this even happen in modern? Like, is the average, like, high school teenager, are they out, like, you know, drinking on the football field? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that between, like, cameras and then phones and stuff like that, like, I think that the
security state,
yeah, I think the game has changed a little bit. I'd be surprised. And maybe, I don't know if, like, there's, I guess, the best way for us to know is, like, there's a, you know, we have, like, our peers that are listening to this show. Like, are your kids out drinking on the high school field? I don't know.
Please, like, write in.
We'd
love to hear from you.
Is that going on? I suspect it's going on less than it is during the times that we were high schoolers, and certainly less so than in this, where in this movie, like, the police show up at the football field. I'm like, how did they get them? How did they know?
Yeah, it's just part of their patrols. I don't know. I do feel like there are ways in which this movie just still did feel like familiar to my high school experience in certain corners of it, and like the types of things that you were able to get away with and the types of ways in which you would while away your time without like overly exposing what my high school experience was like. But it, even like reflecting back on that, it is such a reflection of what the people in Dazed and Confused are doing and getting away with. Mm-hmm. So I feel like just the further and further away that's echoing out, like the less it looks like the 70s high school experience, I would imagine. But again, speaking as an old, literally no idea. So let's get into some of the questions that perhaps we have about Dazed and Confused. Like, super quick plot synopsis is, it's the final day of high school. Juniors are becoming seniors. Junior high schoolers are becoming freshmen. They start hazing each other. The juniors becoming seniors are really excited to be seniors. The junior high schoolers becoming freshmen hate it. They're being horribly, like, smothered in ketchups and mustards and oats and stuff, and getting flogged if you're a boy. And it's just a terrible time. And then they get drunk and they get high and people learn things. And Matthew McConaughey gets older, but everybody else stays the same age.
Mm-hmm.
That's effectively the film.
Yeah, there's a lot of hazing that goes on at this high school. I have never heard of this before. This was really new to me, and I was really very confused.
They didn't have hazing at Wanta. I don't know what the name of the Wanta school was.
Yeah, Wanta High School.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just, like, you become a freshman, and then you get hazed by the seniors just for showing up?
I guess, just for existing, it seems like. Even if you don't show up, they'll come track you down, is what it seems
like. They'll come track you down and then just, like, paddle the hell out of you.
Yeah, just pat you on the butt over and over again. I don't recall this for myself. This didn't happen to me. That being said, there were a lot of ways, actually, in which some of the hazing rituals and, like, the disparity between, like, King of the Hill and like peons at the bottom of the hill was very reflective of some of my summer camp experience. And in watching this movie made me really remember, like, how, like, 70s culture driven my 1990s summer camp experience felt like. And so I do think that maybe there is just, like, this time in American culture where, like, you even see it, like, when the newly minted freshmen go to, like, their science teacher or something, they're like, it would really make such a difference if you could let us leave 5 minutes early. And the guy is like, it's like they told me back at the war, 50 of you are going out, 25 of you are coming back. Like, there's no sympathy for the kids. This is like, no, you have to go through this rite of passage. You need to experience a little bit of pain and eat some humble pie in the form of a cricket paddle just flogging you in the behind. And you'll become a man as a result of that. And, like, it's great that that's not really allowed anymore. But there are still so many of these, like, horrible, horrible rites of passage that have, like, maybe become even more nefarious because, like, they can't be quite as overt as just, like, getting hit in the butt without you, like, going on the internet and getting destroyed or going to jail or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That being said, should we have some sort of like new podcaster hazing that goes on?
Yeah. What should that be? Everyone has to podcast about the first season of The Strain.
Yeah.
The Strigoi.
Yeah. Do we like have like sort of like a requisite show that everybody has? And it doesn't even necessarily get released into a podcast feed, but you have to like recap every single episode of a first season.
Maybe it's just a movie, because then we'd have to like, who's going to like, you know, listen to all these podcasts? That
no one, no one. Yeah. But it's just like getting in.
Who's
the
listening to this one? Yeah. Are you out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would the movie be? Do they have to watch Dazed and Confused every day for a month?
No, I think
got to be worse. Got to be a bad movie.
We'll come up with it. Let us know the ideas for hazing the new podcasters.
Yeah. Yeah. But we won't accept any of them because they're going to be like very soft, because it's like, OK, well, I'm not going to like try and inflict any pain on myself if I want to be a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess like we'll accept the ideas from anyone who is not aspiring to be a podcaster.
Sure.
If you have no interest in being a podcaster, we would be interested in hearing your ideas for how to haze the new podcasters. Were you surprised by any of the actor appearances in this movie? Were you doing any IMD bags on any of these people
after the movie was over? And then you also got the, like, at the end of the movie, you know, it wasn't necessarily like the Animal House of like, here's what happened to this person, but you did get in order of appearance like every single person.
Yes.
And there was so many people in this cast.
Yes. Not all of them, and in fact I would say probably like most of them weren't like somebodies yet, but so many of them would go on to become somebodies. I think like the most famous one, and like sort of I think the origin point of the really widely iconic all right Matthew McConaughey in this film as Wooderson. This is sort of like what Sean Penn is to Fast Times, McConaughey is to Dazed and Confused, as this guy who is like a few years past his prime but is still hanging out in the local town, just like predatorily picking off all of like the other kids from high school and like completely unable to move on with his life.
Well, let me ask you, did Richard Linklater, did he just have like that he got like all these like hot, like up and coming people, or was it just the act of being in Dazed and Confused really was like jet fuel to all these people's career?
I would suspect it's a little closer to that. I don't think that's exactly the case for absolutely everybody in this movie. Like, I don't think that that's necessarily the case for McConaughey, for instance. I guess I'd be curious to know, like, what is McConaughey's like career like early on at this point? I do think that it is considered his breakout, it seems like, Dazed and Confused. So I think that like, this movie has some really standout performances that then will go on and get reexamined. And I think like a big piece of it too is this movie is like a real filmmaker's movie, I think. I think like people who love movies and make movies love this film quite a bit. And so probably revisit it a lot and look at the McConaughey's of the world or the Afflecks of the world and are like, yes, you were in Dazed and Confused. You're in one of my favorite movies of all time. I'd love to work with you more.
Yeah. And McConaughey, I mean, had not done anything prior to that. He was in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. And he was in a Trisha Yearwood video.
Yeah. Then I think you have your answer for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking at like Joey Lauren Adams, who, speaking of Kevin Smith, is going to be at the center of Chasing Amy a few years down the line from here. Mallrats, she's a couple of years away from. Mm-hmm. She had only been in Coneheads before this, and that was the same year. And unfortunately, I think we missed the
boat. I think it was tight with Coneheads. I think that there was a couple other things that we could have done.
We'll do January. We could do 1993 Second Chances.
It's fine. It's fine.
How about that? A Second Chances.
I think the Coneheads we could leave in 1993.
I would be pretty sad about that. That's a Chris Farley appearance. We take all the Farley we could possibly get. I think that probably it is that thing of like, you were in this movie and it kind of it did not rocket everybody to stardom for certain.
No, certainly not. Yeah. Most of the leads, I feel like it did not really jettison their career.
No, like Jason London, who is Randall Pink Floyd, the star of the movie. He has had, you know, like a continued career as an actor, but he has not exploded. His twin brother, Jeremy London, was probably the two of the London brothers that I knew better for my sins. He was Griffin in Party of Five. Big Party of Five fan. So I knew him as the, and I think I was really mind blown actually the first time I saw Dazed and Confused, because I didn't know that the London brothers were a thing. I was like, why does Griffin from Party of Five look a little different? It's because it wasn't Griffin from Party of Five, it was his twin brother. But I think a lot of the leads, yeah, I think that they sort of have a moment here, have something of a career moving on. But then it's like some of the ones that you wouldn't necessarily expect, like Mila Jovovich is in this movie. I'd completely forgotten. And so she's like on her way towards the Fifth Element here in this movie. So like, does she get the Fifth Element because she's here in Dazed and Confused?
Like a real high school, you know, you went and the people that you thought were going to be the successful ones weren't necessarily. But then you go back to the high school reunion and it's like, oh, look at this, this person, yeah.
Which is interesting that Mila Jovovich and one of the other main actors in this movie, Sean Andrews, who plays Kevin Pickford, they got married this year, 1993, and then their marriage is annulled as well in 1993. So I feel like probably like the making of Dazed and Confused is not a thing that I know altogether all that well, that I wonder what like the hijinks of the actors looked like. I think could be fascinating to do the deeper dive on. But like Cole Hauser, who plays just sort of like one of the jockey bros in this movie, would go on to have like a very, very strange career where he would be like sort of like tepid bad guy in a couple of like late 90s, early 2000s thrillers. I think he's in is it Reindeer Games? Is that the movie with Ben Affleck is like some sort of action hero? I feel like maybe he's in Reindeer Games. Maybe he's not. He's the bad guy in Too Fast, Too Furious and just like a bunch of other really strange appearances before he absolutely explodes in 2018 as like the most loved character, I think, like across the board on Yellowstone, as Rip Wheeler on Yellowstone. So like some of these people who are in Dazed and Confused waited decades to just pop off. How much of this is because of like the delayed Dazed and Confused effect? I'm not so sure. Have you done the Yellowstone yet because it's interfering with your big brother?
No, I haven't watched
it. Are you protesting?
I'm not protesting. I just that I don't know when I would start to fit in Yellowstone.
Yeah. It'd be hard to find the time, I think. Mm-hmm. Not easy. Not easily done. So yeah, I think like I was even thinking, where is Parker Posey at this point in time making Dazed and Confused? Because she's like going to be really part of like the Christopher Guest like mockumentary family. And that hasn't really happened for her at this point in time, too. So, yeah, I think like people really show up here and then get siphoned out into different directions or they just kind of fade away.
OK, we've talked so much about the meta of Dazed and Confused. I feel like that we would be doing a disservice to the people that love this movie without talking about what about some of like the iconic moments from this?
Yeah. What do you felt particularly iconic? Were there a couple of things that stood out to you? Like if you walk away from Dazed and Confused, what are you going to be thinking about the most?
So, I mean, there's a lot of like the little like vignette stuff that I'll probably be thinking about. But I feel like that really the culmination of the movie with like there's this whole thing with the football team. Yes. They have to sign a contract and, you know,
Ink doesn't want to sign it.
You know, I feel like that in a lot of movies, it would be like that by the end, it was like, hey, you know, I learned that being around like my friends and they were taking me down the wrong path. And so I'm going to get on the straight and narrow and go go out there and I'm going to win the big game because I ended up like dedicating myself to my craft. And I think that what's interesting about this movie is that this main-ish character sort of like rejects, like, you know what? I'm not going to sign the thing. And if it means that I don't play high school football, like, fine, whatever. This doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
And for the person who's watching this from the future, who knows that, you know, that the thing that probably that they do, and I'm not a high school athlete, so maybe it's like, no, high school football was the best thing ever. But I think that it was just the good times that were had was probably the thing that you would like want to keep most right. from this time.
Yes.
Now, maybe, you know, if it's not like that Randall Pink Floyd was on his way to the NFL or anything like that. So you'd hate to see somebody not do their schoolwork and then go on to like a bad trajectory for life. But that there were things that were, you know, more important in the big picture, even though the adults here may have misprioritized them.
I think getting tickets to Aerosmith a lot more important than playing football personally.
Good for Aerosmith, still out there. Although I did see they had to pause their tour, but still.
Starting to get to that point.
But still,
like, we're at that point, but like that, we're just getting to that point. 30 years greater
Aerosmith,
than Dazed
and
Confused.
Keep staying the same age, and no,
but
they're staying
not.
The same age.
Definitely not for sure.
We got older.
I think that one of the most satisfying parts of the movie is watching that arc and seeing like by the end, like Pink is like sort of wrestling. He's like making his coach sweat. He thinks it's ridiculous that this like sort of like we shall not do drugs contract is being circulated amongst the players and needs to be signed in order to stay on with the football team. And I think it's sort of this like rightful acknowledgement that's actually like very evocative of like the Hollywood strikes and the striking that's going on in the labor movement right now of like, you think you've got the power to make me sign this? Like, I'm not going to like you can't control what I do with my life. You need me to play football more than I need you to play football. And like him crumpling that piece of paper and throwing it at the coach at the end of the movie of like, I might play football, but I'll never sign that. Great moment. Very, very, very satisfying, I think. Probably like the best, like the best, like emotional beat of the movie, or one of the really, really good emotional beats of the movie. Mm-hmm. One of mine is an emotional beatdown. Newhouse decides because he and the Anthony Rapp character, Tony, they're sort of like the outsiders. They're the nerdy types. They're going to go to the party begrudgingly. They don't really want to do it. One of the things that Newhouse, I want to dance. Newhouse is going to go on and try to like get into a he wants to like feel something, and he wants to get into a fight with this guy who was mean to him earlier at the party, played by Nicky Cat. Mm-hmm. The guy who has like a lot of the iconic lines of this movie, like, I came here to drink beer and kick ass and I'm almost out of beer. And Newhouse like goes up to him, dumps a beer on his head, socks him in the face, gets like the first like kickoff to the what he believes to be like the inevitable fight, then gets his butt totally whooped. And he cries at the end of the fight. And I think like that's the last time we see him. That look of him crying on the other side of the fight, very, very memorable to me. I don't know why, maybe because of like all of the rage fantasies that I've had in my life, Rob, of like, okay, well, I'll just like dump the beer on the bully's head and throw a punch, but probably afterwards I would just get my butt kicked and I'd cry about it. Like, felt very real.
Yeah.
But I think about that moment a ton. Like, when I think about Dazed and Confused, that's really high on my board of scenes that I remember.
Yeah, he has a bit of a miscalculation where he's like, hey, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to sucker punch him. I'm going to get one shot in. And then the crowd is going to like, they'll pull us apart.
Yeah.
They're not going to like let this go on too far. I just play defense for a couple seconds. And then ultimately, they're going to bail us out. And
it goes on for a while.
Goes on for a bit. Yeah. The defense does not get... The defense is not played that great, and the reinforcements are not called
in. They don't arrive as fast as he wants them to.
Yeah.
So there's that. The entirety of Ben Affleck, I think, is very memorable to me. Like, just his whole vibe, the hair, just like the full on, like, alpha broiness or like attempt at alpha broiness from this extraordinarily insecure person that I think Affleck like plays really, really, really well. I think he's great. Like this guy who is like repeating senior year probably has like extraordinary amounts of like shame behind it and like covers it up by just like kicking the crap out of kids that are now 5 years younger than him at mm-hmm. this point. Only to get smothered in paint by the end of his time in the film. Very fun. He's a total turd and he gets taken care of. Righteous justice goes to Ben Affleck in this movie.
Yeah. He's got his paddle, which says on it, fa and then Q.
So he's it's an FAQ. He has a lot of questions that are frequently asked of him.
Yeah, he's basically a Batman in this film. I mean, that if you consider the paddle to be, is kind of a bat.
Sure, and he has his car as sort of a Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like sort of a prelude to his Batman era?
I think so.
Dazed and Confused?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the enemies that Batman punches in the head are dazed and confused by the end of their time with the Caped Crusader.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes sense. Yeah. Who else in this movie would have been a really good Batman? I feel like Matthew McConaughey in another world.
Could he have done it?
No.
No.
No. Everyone would like, because like his voice is so recognizable that in the universe of Batman, everyone would be like, you're Bruce Wayne, right?
Yeah. I mean, I could
All right. You caught me. You know?
Rory Cochran in the one of I could see him like as like a Bane type.
A Bane type, yeah. I think there's a couple of Bane types in here. I think like probably more of like Batman's rogues mm-hmm. here than actual Batman themselves.
Sure.
So the Affleck is big. McConaughey's entire like McConaughey-ness it's not McConaughey. I mean, some of the things he does is McConaughey-ness, but a lot of it is like McConic,
yeah,
as in well, iconic.
Josh, it's really interesting because that McConaughey is the person that is most closely associated with this. It's probably McConaughey's, like if we were going to do like the Mount Rushmore of McConaughey,
this is
like, I think this is on there.
Yes.
I think it's probably his most iconic role. I feel like that this is your wheelhouse.
Man, what's Matthew McConaughey's most iconic role?
And he's really not in the film that much. I feel like his first appearance in the film, it's like 35, 40 minutes into the movie. He has a couple of different scenes. And, you know, I know you immediately, okay, that's Matthew McConaughey. I mean, the all right follows him still 30 years later.
Yeah.
The I keep getting older, they keep saying the same age. That also, you know, I didn't even know that the LIVIN live-in, which was a big part of Survivor a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
When, you know, Cody from that season was like an aspiring Matthew McConaughey. That he talked about how he had that tattooed on his butt. And
wait, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Living.
I gotta go back and watch that one.
Season 43, episode one is named Living.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so I think he really like is.
Were they allowed to show his butt on TV or no?
I don't know if they showed like a small.
Small section of the butt.
Yeah. I think it's not really too close to the crack.
Yeah. I was just going to say a small section of the butt is a good name for a memoir, but too close to the crack, also not bad.
Too close to the crack.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the people who walk away from the seniors of Dazed and Confused could be writing.
I think it's
books
more
about
side
that.
Butt than like right, you know, right in there. And
we're just like giving away good ideas right now, by the way, for names of books for the kids from mm-hmm. Dazed and Confused.
But yeah, it's just so interesting that like McConaughey, I think that I probably would have thought was like the star of the movie.
Yeah.
And he is like a supporting character at best.
Yeah. I think that this will be a thing that we really see a lot in the 90s going forward. Like my head is immediately going to Brad Pitt as like a sort of similar guy who a lot of his most iconic characters, I think, are supporting roles. Like I think his supporting roles for me are more classic than his lead roles. And I think that that might also be true for McConaughey. I think definitely like so much of like the McConaughey vibe emanates out from his time here as Wooderson in this movie. And then I think like what would be really competitive with this character would probably be Rust Cole from True Detective that kicks mm-hmm. off sort of the McConaissance back in like 2014. Sure. But it takes like that long. It's a slew of rom-coms and then supporting roles in some pretty good dramas like Contact or whatever that stand between those two poles. I think like Interstellar is on the other side of that too. And I think like I wouldn't even necessarily say like you think of McConaughey and immediately you go to Interstellar. Some people certainly do. Mm-hmm. But I think like you think of McConaughey, you do think of like sort of this vibe, whether or not you're thinking about this character. I think the vibe starts here for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it defined his whole career.
Everything. Everything about him.
Yeah.
Couldn't escape it. I think quite a bit about Mitch Kramer. Mitch Kramer's like really big day. Mitch, who's like this star pitcher for his like junior high school baseball team, who goes and gets his butt whooped. He's like the first of his friends who gets their butt whooped by Ben Affleck. And then he gets befriended by Pink and has like a really great night out and gets like really, really drunk. And his sister is looking after him and Pink is looking after him as well. And he's going to like hook up with this girl and he's going to have all these things happen. He's going to get home really late. And the thing that I think about is him returning home and his mom being like, all right, you get one. Mm-hmm. This is it. If you ever come back if you ever come back after sunrise, mm-hmm. Not before again, you'll be in huge trouble. But also, are you drunk right now? And he's just like, nah, no. And his story ending with him just like after all of that, lying in bed and not immediately going to sleep, but instead like listening to music with headphones on. I never quite understood that, but I think about his story a good amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think he would be tired because
yeah, I would think
day.
That he's too tired to operate the tape cassette.
Yeah,
like, is he gonna have like the like? Is he gonna have like the level of energy that's required to like fast forward through a song you don't like to get to the song that you like? Is he gonna have
to
like
listen to all of them?
Is he gonna have the dexterity to like eject the tape, mm-hmm. flip it back over, put it back in, put it down, press play? Lots of buttons.
A lot of buttons. Yeah.
Lots of buttons.
But, yeah. I felt like that when mom is like, all right, this is it. You get one. It's like, mom, it's only freshman year. Like,
I'm going to have to have a lot more than one.
I mean, I feel like that this was just like his first taste of this. I feel like there's going to be a lot more nights like this.
This may have been a tactical error on his mother's part. Like letting him have this one this early on. You do have to imagine that like a really like savvy Mitch Kramer is going to be able to like expose this weakness and exploit it and maneuver around for the remainder of his high school years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thought.
Yeah.
You know, draw those boundaries early, I think.
You got to.
You have no choice. What else? What are some of the other ones from this movie that you felt?
So I liked any time that they were sort of like talking about what was to come. There's a few like really like clever moments where there's a woman who's in the convenience store and the man in the convenience store is like giving her like all sorts of advice. She's pregnant and he's like, you know, you gotta make sure eat something green every single day. As like she's buying cigarettes at the convenience store and he's like packing the cigarettes in the bag and like there's no mention of that, but you know he's giving her like the advice of like how to have like a very healthy pregnancy.
I think you know seeing some of the disparity between like modern medicine, mm-hmm. maybe some of this stuff changing a little bit over the years.
Also that there's a scene where they're talking about how like, well, you know, the 60s were awesome, but the 70s are lame, mm-hmm. but the 80s are probably going to be awesome.
Yes. This also felt a little real.
But in this conversation about like nostalgia, where it's like, of course, you'd say like the time that you're living in sucks.
Yes.
But the, you know, the time that came right before that
was so
awesome.
Good.
Whereas, you know, for us, even doing this podcast, you know, it's like, okay, well, we're going back to the 90s. The 90s, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But I think the person in the 90s is probably saying, like,
this isn't so
well,
good.
The 90s suck, but, you know, the 70s was awesome. Like, let's watch this movie about the 70s.
Yeah. Grass is always greener.
Yeah.
You know,
about the 70s, like 70s, you know, they sucked. The 60s were awesome.
Yeah.
And actually, I really missed
the 40s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's ever 40s nostalgia other than like World War II stuff.
Yeah, 40s and earlier, I don't know.
Yeah, but it, you know, in the 70s, you know, there's like Happy Days and like a lot of like 50s nostalgia.
Yeah, are we getting 2000s nostalgia? Is this
well, if we are, it didn't happen yet. Maybe we're at the cusp of it. It's been it's interesting. So, you know, in the 70s, they're like talking a lot about the 50s, and in the 90s, they're talking about the 70s. I guess we kind of had like, you know, there was a lot of 80s nostalgia, but I feel like that the length of time it took to get there has been like increasing.
Yeah.
So now there's a lot of 90s nostalgia here, and it's like, you know, 30 years, 25 years after the fact. There was a lot of 80s stuff, I feel like, you know, pretty recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of, like, what is, like, some good 2000s, 2010s. I mean, the stuff that, like, you're seeing about, like, 2000s and 2010s, like, that's getting made now. I feel like I'm thinking about, like, I don't know, stuff like... I'm thinking about like they make like the Dick Cheney movie or they make like the Big Short or whatever. It's like, oh, that's not so nostalgic. All that kind of just sucks. Like the nostalgia hasn't really hit.
Yeah.
But like these are the criminals that have made it so that today.
Yeah. Bernie Madoff. Yeah. But that stuff is not necessarily like nostalgia. Like when we get to nostalgia, it's like the high school in these times. I think that's when that really starts to get explored. And you need those people who were in high school at that time to, you know, rise to power where they have the ability to like green light these projects.
Yeah, for sure. What else do you got on Dazed and Confused? Do we have any sequel ideas for Dazed and Confused?
Oh my God. I didn't even think of
that. I wonder what ChatGPT.
So, now, would it be a sequel to Dazed and Confused? I think so, right? Because it's like,
I think so. I think, well, while we're on the subject of what would Dazed and Confused look like? So, what is it? It's like 17 years, I think, is the spread between the events of Dazed and Confused and the movie Dazed and Confused. So what would life look like, I guess, is that, what am I mathing on a podcast again? I shouldn't be doing this. 2010. So what does Dazed and Confused look like for the characters of Dazed and Confused in 2010?
Wait, so the sequel, this is where I'm getting confused. So it's this Dazed and Confused 2 that's coming out now, but it takes place in the year 2010.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Dazed and Confused 2010 is the name.
You don't want to just have it set in the current day.
Sure. Let's just do it now. But I mean, like they've gotten old. They're real old.
They're very old, I guess. Yeah.
Sure. Let's do it though. Let's find out how old they got.
All right.
Are they still like, they're definitely going to jail for a lot of their behavior, like life in prison. Whatever's left of it.
Okay. All right. So All right. This is called Dazed and Confused. Oh, sorry. Dazed and Amused, colon, classes 2023.
Okay, great.
That we're less confused. Okay. All right. The central theme revolves around the kids of the original characters attending the same high school in Austin, Texas, grappling with the eerily similar challenges that their parents faced, from bullying to romance, yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, the original cast is facing their own midlife dramas. They find themselves coming to terms with their past and their kids relive it, albeit in the 21st century. Randall Pink Floyd, who was once a promising football star, is now a high school coach struggling to connect with the new generation of athletes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe he's like, sign already. My paper.
Yeah. Yeah. What does his paper say, I wonder?
Yeah. No phone usage.
Yeah. If you get Aerosmith tickets, you have to give them to me.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
This is very vague. Let me see. What are the specific challenges the characters face?
Yes. What happens to should we do some like where are they nows? Maybe.
Yeah.
Where is Wooderson now? I would wonder.
Yeah. Let's see.
Probably deceased.
He might be. So how old is he? What is he? So he was in 1970. So he's like he's in his what? Late 60s.
Yeah, late 60s, early 70s, but that feels like a long life expectancy for that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. So, yeah, Randall Pink Floyd, he's having a midlife crisis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. I think that...
Is ChatGPT dazed and confused about how to process a dazed and confused? Let's see,
you want to know about Mike Newhouse?
Yeah, I do want to know what's up with Mike.
He's grown increasingly cynical and disenchanted with the state of modern politics.
Yeah.
His skepticism.
Did he ever become an ACLU lawyer?
I don't know. His skepticism comes to a head when he finds out his son is getting involved with a very polarizing political group at school, causing him to question his own beliefs and the values he's passed on.
Mm. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. So,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah. So, what is
Dazed and Amused? 2023 doesn't sound that fun.
No, it doesn't. It was more amusing in Dazed and Confused.
And we should have said it in 2010.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. What's happened to Ben Affleck? Fred O'Banion. Does ChatGPT tell us what happened to Ben? Is he still a senior in high school? A senior citizen in high school at this
what
point?
Happened to
what happens to Ben Affleck?
How do you spell O'Banion?
O'Banion.
Okay.
O'Banion.
Played by Benjamin
Affleck. Star of such films as
Okay. He's once the high school bully. He transitioned to adulthood with a mixed bag of fortunes and life lessons. He owns a local auto repair shop and is somewhat of a reformed character, though still quite cantankerous.
Yeah.
He's divorced. He has a son named Connor, who's a high school senior.
Okay.
He's the complete opposite of him. He's shy, introverted, and academically focused.
That sounds right. That's how this goes, right? Mm-hmm. Skips a generation.
Yep. So they get into a lot of his plot line. He has a lot more in this movie. He owns an auto shop.
I mean, it makes sense. If they were able to get Ben Affleck back,
you got
to
give him
a media
role.
Yeah, for sure.
So he owns an auto shop that's struggling because of the rise in electric vehicles and the challenges that are posed by a more advanced automotive technology. Like, he's a grease monkey.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do with, like, a computer in a car.
No. Give a man a wrench, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's also dating again, and he met an old flame at a local bar who challenges his perspective on love and life.
Is the old flame anyone from the original film? They don't say.
It doesn't say.
No.
So, yeah. Do you want to know what happened to Wooderson?
Yeah. What did happen to Wooderson?
Yeah. What happens with Wooderson, played by Matthew McConaughey? Well, I hope it's not jail. Yeah. Okay.
Could very well be jail.
All right. So David Wooderson, he's known for living in the past and always being around high school parties, despite being older, has somewhat surprisingly evolved into a local legend and a successful entrepreneur.
Oh, wow.
He's the owner of a popular chain of chill lounges that capitalizes on 70s nostalgia named All Right Lounge.
I feel like we could have workshopped that.
Yeah. However, this is where, you know, this movie is more serious. The years of partying have caught up to him. And after a minor health scare, Wooderson is forced to reconsider his lifestyle. His usual mantra of just keep living now requires him to define what living really means at this stage in his life.
Yeah. Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So good.
His lifestyle is not all right for me anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Ultimately, this film is going to close with him pondering changes for his lounges, but decidingly to say change is inevitable. But being uncool, that's a choice, man.
That's a choice.
All right.
That's the final line of the movie. Can you say that again one more time? What's the final line of Dazed and Amused?
Change is inevitable, but being uncool, that's a choice, man. All right.
I give that zero earbuds.
He's still the heart of the movie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. He can get everybody.
Collects a new Academy Award over it. What happened to Mitch Kramer? I would love to know what happens to Mitch Kramer at the in the modern version of Dazed and Amused.
Yes. Okay.
Was he able to sneak out at night a few more times? Let's find
okay.
out.
Okay. Well, yeah, it didn't go so great for the actor who played Mitch Kramer as far as Hollywood's concerned. Wiley Wiggins didn't go on to have a great career after this.
No, but he's
hopefully he's lucky in love and
a game designer, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Mitch, he works at the high school. He's a high school teacher.
Okay.
But his by the book lifestyle is questioned when his own teenage son, Derek, starts attending the school and is a rebel.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So does everybody. At the big party, Mitch has a moment of reflection when he comes across the paddle he was beaten with as a freshman, now a relic displayed as a joke. It served as a stark reminder of how far he's come and the lessons he's learned.
Interesting. I believe that paddle was horribly destroyed in a fit of rage from Ben Affleck.
They rebuilt it. Yep. After a deep conversation with Wooderson and the other old friends helps him realize that while stability has its merits, life also requires taking some risks. He's too in the books now.
Yeah. So say we all.
Yeah, he's going to go on a overdue vacation with his family to try to reconnect.
Nice. All right, good for him. All right, so some good, where are they now, is I think here in Dazed and Amused.
And really, I think the lesson of Dazed and Amused is that, like, you could be cool in high school, but then you still become, like, kind of like the loser later on.
Yes, that is something that was palpable.
Has it happened to us?
No, definitely not. What was it about being cool is a choice and we made it. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
Definitely not a thing that I could appreciate watching Dazed and Confused while I was still either in high school or just out of high school. But now, like 20 years or so after that, it's like, yeah, a lot of you people who thought you were king shit. Where are you now?
Where are you now?
Yeah, was your definitely podcast? Lots of Schadenfreude that I've enjoyed. In my post Dazed and Confused viewing number one, and greatly enjoyed during viewing number two. Mm-hmm. Dazed and Confused, 30 years worse, 30 years greater, 30 years the same. I mean, for you, this is a hard one because I guess like you just watched it.
Yeah, I just watched it.
For me, it was 30 years greater. I appreciated it so much more on this one.
I'm sure it holds up. I mean, it's a piece that was to document this time, and I don't think anything's changed. So it's not like, wow, this is really dated.
No. Are you ready to reveal what we're going to do next week?
Please.
On 30 Years Greater. So again, in the spirit of Brendan and Zach's movie ladder, how are we movie laddering our way to our next film here on 30 Years Greater? And this next one, Rob, is a period piece as well. If Dazed and Confused was a period piece set in a throwback era of 1976, then this next movie is a period piece set in a throwback era 10 years from now. So we actually haven't even gotten to the period that this movie
covers. It's more of a throw forward.
Yeah, it's a throw forward. So throw back to throw forward is where we are, as I think that it would be a crime if we didn't talk about this movie. Like a crime to which the penalty would result in getting frozen in cryostasis, only to be thawed out when your mortal enemy has been also thawed out of cryostasis and released upon a utopian society. I think that we would be committing the 30 years greater equivalent of a murder, death, kill if we did not try to solve the mystery of the three seashells with Demolition Man, baby. Okay. Next up on 30 Years Greater.
This is a promise fulfilled, and I am very excited that we are here.
Yes. Yeah. I've already watched Demolition Man this year. Pretty recently. And I don't even know. It may have been on the other side of us figuring out that this would be a fun movie project. I can't remember exactly when, but it was the summer for sure.
Yeah,
it was when I watched Demolition Man last. Ridiculous film. Absurd. This will be one where I think we will comb over the plot with some degree of
fine thoroughness. Fine-tooth comb. Yes.
There's a lot that we're going to get into with Demolition Man, the Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock and Wesley Snipes vehicle. Demolition Man, self-driving cars, and so much more coming your way on 30 Years Greater next. Make sure you're subscribed. PostyourRecaps.com/30 or 30 Years Greater, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. Check us out on YouTube if you wish. PostyourRecaps.com/YouTube. And you can hit us up on the internet wherever you can find us. I'm at Round Howard. Rob is at Rob Sesternino. Rob, you're still suitsin'. You're probably by the time this is out, you're surviving as well now.
Yep. Living. Yep.
Get busy living.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever get surviving tattooed on your butt?
Would I get surviving? No.
Yeah. No. Mike Bloom might. Under the right circumstances.
I mean, I guess he may have already done it.
It's not impossible that he already has it.
Yeah.
Not impossible he already has it. So much happening at RHAP. Check that out. All of the stuff that Rob and the gang have going on. Everything going on here on Post Show Recap. So much scripted stuff, including Suits Yourself, suitspodcast.com, if you want to check all of that out.
Now in season three, headed to season four.
Unbelievable. Just at a real clip. You're doing okay? You're doing all right, all right, all right?
Doing all right, all right, all right. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's great. Well, Dazed and Confused, you did all right, all right, all right. We hope to see you again in 30 years with Dazed and Amused. To everybody else, including the Demolition Man, we will see you next week. Till then, take care. Bye-bye.